Did I say our test will be today? I did, didn't I? Okay. I'm going to be back in just a minute. Let's see. Up at the office. Okay, this is church history class. Tape students, pick up file 51 in the library. This is your test on the introduction, and you have 30 minutes. So, let's see, we'll go by this clock in the room, and it'll take just a minute, and you go. Let's stop at 8:36. Because here I am giving you this test, and you're all looking at me. I love you. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, is everybody down? Okay, trade your papers. Make sure the originator's name is on the paper and write your name in as corrector. Okay, here we go. Page one. Number one is D like dog. Number two, D like dog. Three, D like dog. Page two. Number four, A like apple. Five, C like cow. Six, E like elephant. Seven, B like boy. 8. C like cow. Page 3. Number 9. D like dog. 10. E like elephant. 11. E like elephant. 12. E like elephant. 13. C like cow. 14. B like boy. Page 4. Number 15. E like elephant. 16. B like boy. 17. B like boy. 18. D like dog. 19. B like boy. 20. C like cow. 21. D like dog. Page 5. 22. E like elephant. 23. D like dog. 24. A like apple. 25. B like boy. 26. D like dog. 27. E like elephant. Page 6. 28, E like elephant. This is one of my favorite test questions in Bible college. 28D, what is meant by the Crusades? Protestant religious revivals held outdoors during the Reformation. Okay, 29, D like dog. It's a plausible answer if you didn't know what the answer was, you know. Okay, 29, D like dog. 30, C like cow. 31, A like elephant. I mean, apple. Whoops. A like apple. Okay. Page 7. 32, C like cow. 33, E like elephant. 34, E like elephant. 35, D like dog. Page 8, matching. A, match the names to the corresponding church ages. 1, A like apple. 2, I like Indian. 3, E like elephant. 4, G like goat. 5, J like jar. 6, L like ladder. 7, M like monkey. Okay, B, match the dates to the church ages. Number 1, C like cow. 2, E like elephant. 3, H like hat. 4, K like kite. 5, N like nail. 6, O like olive. 7, O like olive. Page 9, C, match the men to the churches. 1, Q like queen. 2, T like table. 3, I like Indian. 4, T like table. 5, K like kite. 6, N like nail. 7, P like what? Pear. K. 8, O like olive. 9, T like table. 10, E like elephant. 11, J like jar. 12, G like goat. 13, I will take S or C or both. 14, B like boy. Number 11, I should do this too. Number 11, we have J, John Knox. I'm going to do this. Number 11, I'm going to take C or J or both, because the Presbyterian Church themselves say that. And so that might help you a little bit. It really should be John Knox. We'll take Calvin, though. Okay, page 10, number 1. Which of the following charts correctly illustrates the basic movement of church history? The answer in that blank should be 5. Okay, and the test on the nations, number 11, page 11, number 2. Identify the following countries on the map. Number 1, J like jar. 2, G like goat. 3, K like kite. 4, C like cow. 5, D like dog. 6, E like elephant. 7, I like Indian. 8, B like boy. 9, L like ladder. 10, H like hat. 11, A like apple. 12, F like fish. Okay, are there any questions? Yes, Mike?
On that question about the council, would you accept the C on that? Because they were called the federal document.
No, you can't make that the definition, because when it says what was quote ecumenical close quote church council, the definition is not one called to settle doctrinal disputes, because the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, all the way to 21, they're called to settle doctrinal disputes too. And they're just regular church councils. What makes it ecumenical, which is in quotation marks, ecumenical means universal or worldwide. And so... No, it's not called an ecumenical church council. In church history, when you say the ecumenical councils, you mean the first 7. Okay. And the reason for that is there's a dispute. There's a dispute. See, you and I wouldn't say, well, they didn't take bishops from all over the world. They aren't even Christians. You know? And so the Eastern Orthodox Church says, that isn't a church council for the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the Roman Catholic Church. That's the harlot church. And they dispute it. But the other ones seem to be agreed upon. Okay. Subtract from 100. Show the score to the originator and then pass the papers in. Remember, your definition of Godhead terms assignment is due October 15. So be working on that. Okay, let's take out our notes on the Apostolic Church Age. Anybody get 100? Good. Couple of them. Good. Okay, we're studying the Apostolic Age, which is AD 30 to 100. And we defined the word church as the word in the Bible in the Greek language, ekklesia, which is a compound word from ek meaning out and klesis, a calling. So it means the called out ones, literally. It refers to people who are called out of the world into Jesus Christ. And so church history teachers sometimes draw a circle on the board. And they say that circle is the blood of Christ. And when you get saved, you're called out of the world into Christ. And you come into Christ through that bloodline of Christ. Everybody who's saved is in Christ. Everybody who's not saved isn't in Christ. And you're called out of the world into Christ. And they use that as a definition of the church. And you can put with that Colossians 1:13, which says, "Who hath translated us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son." Colossians 1:13. It's descriptive of being brought into the church. Now the people who are in there are the called out ones. And because the word refers to people, not a building, probably the most accurate English idiom would be congregation or assembly. Congregation, more directly, is the English idea of what the Greek is trying to say. It never means the building where people meet. It always means the people. Now, both Old Testament saints and New Testament believers were called out of the world to be separated to God. Therefore, both can be considered a church. Now, I was giving you arguments which say that Old Testament people can be called a church in at least some sense. The first argument is, the Old Testament people were separated from the world. And we started reading scriptures on that. John 4:9, Acts 10:28, Isaiah 52:11, 2 Corinthians 6:17. A few other ones would be Ezra 4:3. So let's take a minute and read these scriptures. Ezra 4:3 says, "But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us." Now see, this is talking about the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. They heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple. Then came they to Zerubbabel, the chief of the fathers, and said, "Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua said, "We have nothing to do with you." In other words, it shows that the Jews, or the people of God, were separated from the Gentiles. They were called out of the world to be a separated people unto God, even in the Old Testament. That's one reason why Jehovah's Witnesses are so mixed up to say that the Old Testament people were Jehovah's Witnesses. If there's one thing the Old Testament people didn't do, it's they didn't go door-to-door witnessing to the Gentiles. You know, that's pretty clear. They stayed separated. None of them witnessed for Jehovah ever. Even Jesus said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he told the disciples when they went out in Matthew 10:5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, they stayed among themselves. Even in the time of Jesus, the apostles, they were called out from the world to be this unique, separated nation, distinct by circumcision. Nehemiah 2:20. See, the sign of their covenant was circumcision. The nation who had all their males circumcised was different than all the other nations, outwardly and inwardly. Nehemiah 2:20, "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." And this is Sanballat and Tobiah. Remember that? And Geshem the Arabian, they heard this and they were trying to oppose them and so forth. And he says, "We don't have anything to do with you." That's the way it was in the Old Testament. So the first argument why Old Testament people can be called church is they were called out of the world to be separated to God, just like the New Testament church is. Now, they were not called into Jesus Christ in the same sense we are to be born again. Nobody in the Old Testament was born again. You know that, don't you? Born again is a New Testament doctrine. It did not happen to them. So is baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. That didn't happen to them either. But as far as being called out of the world to be separated unto God, that's true of both churches. Number two, in the Septuagint, the word ecclesia is used over 100 times to refer to the Old Testament assembly of Israel. And so we could at least say in the Septuagint, the word church or congregation or assembly is used of Old Testament Israel over 100 times. Now let me give you some scriptures that, let's see, one other point here. Number three, Old Testament saints go in the rapture. Old Testament saints go in the rapture. Therefore, they are part of the same body of Christ we are. I guess, let me do this here. I guess I would call that argument number four. And the reason is the first argument I gave was there are two New Testament scriptures. And if you take the ones in the Gospels, there are four New Testament scriptures that refer to the church, even back in Old Testament times. That would be our first argument. Our second argument would be they're called out of the world. Our third argument would be the Septuagint. And our fourth argument would be Old Testament saints go in the rapture. Now, of course, you could start with Enoch and Elijah. Certainly they are from the Old Testament, and they were raptured. And I believe they'll be part of the bride of Christ because the rapture happens at different times for different groups of people. And then there is the pre-tribulation rapture before the seven-year tribulation under the Antichrist. And Old Testament people are going to go in that rapture also. So that would be included as an argument. Finally, number five, Old and New Covenant saints are one body of Christ in heaven. Old and New Covenant saints are one body of Christ in heaven. Let me give you some scriptures on how this is true. There are a number of these, and there are different arguments within these scriptures, but they are all basically teaching the same thing. They both become one body. Hebrews 11:40 says, "They without us are not made perfect." In other words, it takes the Old Testament and the New Testament saints together to make one complete body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 8. Ephesians 4, 4 and 8. There is one body, and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, etc. The Bible says there is one body. And then a few verses later it says, He led captivity captive. Now, who are these people who are in captivity that are led captive? Are they New Testament Christians? Or are they saints from the Old Testament also? They are saints from Old Testament, aren't they? He says there's one body. And then he says he led captivity captive, which refers to Old Testament people. In other words, Christ took saints from the Old Testament to heaven. Now, is that where New Testament righteous dead go when they die? Sure, they go to the same place. Christ took the Old Testament people up to heaven to be with Him, and then 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8 says, when we die, we are present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so all the righteous dead from both covenants go to the same place to be with Christ. And we say that means they are one body. The Bible says there is one body. Ephesians 4, 4. There are not two bodies, there is one body. Okay, that's as far as we can go today, I guess.